Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, Martin Sturman is with me here on the programme because, Martin, you sent an email. You want to talk about living with tics and Tourette's. Just before you share your own experience with us, tell us, when were you first diagnosed, Martin?
So it would have been around about 2024 I was officially diagnosed by a neurologist.
And prior to that, did you notice symptoms?
Yes, I did, yes. So when I was a lot younger, there was sort of like minor ones. They got a lot worse in 2021 after I was, unfortunately, was an altercation in the UK. I was attacked and assaulted, so it made things a lot worse after that.
Altercation, and out of curiosity, Martin, why was that? Or how was that?
What actually happened, I was attacked from behind, just a random, basically a mugging, attack from behind, hit around the head a few times. They did, like, obviously brain scans and that kind of thing, and they couldn't find anything. And it has transpired that you basically, a lot of people are born, if you're going to have Tourette's, you're born with the gene which triggers it. And it's basically something can trigger it to make it just suddenly start if it hasn't started already.
Okay.
Sometimes it'll be a traumatic event. There's been cases, as in my case, like a physical event can trigger it.
And were you okay after that assault?
Oh, yeah. Apart from bruised and everything, but I was fine.
I'm sure it's very traumatic for you, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So over the years, you would have noticed then different tics kind of through childhood.
Yes. They were very minor ones. Eye blinking, coughing, trying to clear your throat, that kind of thing. When you sit, I don't know if you've seen people when they're sitting down, some people like jiggle. Sort of wiggle their legs quite a lot. That's a common one with myself. Sort of like restless legs as well. So.
And then since you've really noticed in the last 2 years that things had kind of changed and you decided then to go about getting a diagnosis. How difficult was that, Martin?
So originally started in the UK because that's when symptoms really started, when I lived in the UK, and I was obviously waiting on the NHS. Moved over here and then obviously had to start the whole thing again. Obviously different health authorities. And actually, luckily, I was actually seen very quickly over here. It was in the case of, I was referred, and I think it was a few months later I was seen by a neurologist.
Good.
And whether it's just I was lucky enough to have a cancellation from someone else or not, I don't know. But luckily enough. And they diagnosed me there and then.
That was it.
And then, yeah.
So will you just explain to listeners, how does it impact day-to-day life, Martin?
So obviously trying to find work is probably one of the main ones. Obviously I was when I first moved over here, I was working. But unfortunately I was working in a position where a tick or something could potentially injure me. I was working at a laundrette, as you can probably appreciate, having an iron in your hand and then randomly ticking might not have been the safest option. And obviously I had to leave there. And then sort of jobs after that and stuff, I've had like employers tell me I should go see a priest.
A priest?
Yes, to basically sort of basically fix myself. I've had people tell me I'm faking it. All sorts of things like that. I've recently just had to leave employment because of discrimination as well. And say, trying to get interviews and that kind of thing. I mean, I'm one of these people who are open and honest about my condition because it's not something that you can hide. Well, sometimes you can, but and I sort of, because I don't want people to be like, well, why are you like that, are you on drugs or something, at an interview, and I'm not, or on under the influence or something. I'm not at all. I've had people say to me, I mean, little simple jobs like washing cars or something as easy as that, I've had people say, oh, I said to them, I was like, look, this thing's perfect for myself, it's not too stressful and that kind of thing. And then I've had people instantly then like turn me down. Obviously I can't explain that's the reason why, but it's just sort of coincidental is the reason. Outside of work wise, I've had like dating incidents where I've on like Tinder, where I've matched with someone, explained obviously that I've got Tourette's, and had them saying, well, I'm not interested, I can't be dealing with someone who has Tourette's.
The person you've matched with would reply and say this once you've told them about your condition.
Yes, I have had.
And how do you feel, Martin, when you get that response?
It can be quite downheartening.
Yeah, sure it is.
I mean, as I say, main sort of thing of sort of trying to raise awareness and stuff. I've recently had an incident with the bank, my local bank, where I was trying to get something resolved via email, and they didn't want to talk to me via email. They wanted to talk to me over the phone, and stressful situations can cause and trigger further tics for myself and make it very hard for me to talk. And this is, and I explained that situation is a reasonable adjustment to the workplace, a reasonable adjustment to for myself. And they were refusing to do it. And it took a case of actually going to the FSPO and actually putting a physical complaint in, that for them to actually engage with me via email. So that took literally months before they would actually engage me via email. I've had instances.
And that's just like for, you know, kind of a simple day-to-day banking question or query that maybe the rest of us would take so for granted in walking in and out of a bank. But for you to try and just get someone to communicate with you via email, you had to basically go to the financial services providers about it.
And basically, put an actual complaint in. As I say, it's simple little adjustments like that. Like someone's not obviously discrediting someone else with disabilities. It's like physical disabilities, you can put in a ramp or a bar or something like that. But with a neurological disability, it's often a lot harder to do an adjustment.
You got in touch with us, Martin. I know you sent us in an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com, to tell us about a recent incident that you had on a train. What happened? Yes.
So I was coming back from Dublin. I don't know if you've ever been on the Sligo line from Dublin.
Many times, Martin.
it's often very full. Because I think the trains are a lot less than they are on the other line. Often very full. I managed to get a seat. Obviously, one of the bonuses of being disability, obviously you get your travel card, but I was sitting on the seat and someone sat next to me. This lady, obviously it's fully, absolutely full, so there's not really any other seats. Her husband was sitting like on the other side next to someone else, because again, the only available space. I was started ticking because it's confined space and it was obviously slightly overwhelming. Rather than asking if I was okay or sort of trying to understand, this lady literally just got up, walked away from her husband as well, and stood up for the remainder of the journey until she got off. So,
and you feel that she moved away from you?
Well, I actually caught her looking at me, sort of side eye, from a sort of casually sort of glancing at me with my tics and stuff. And then, yeah, that's whether I don't think it was a coincidence that she just got up and decided to stand up for the majority of the journey when she was already sitting down next to her husband.
And I'm curious, Mark, would you put that down to being, you know, I don't want to say that the woman was being, you know, nasty or mean or anything like that, but is that just a lack of maybe of awareness? Maybe, do you think that she just...
I wouldn't say it's been nasty. I think it's more a case of lack of education and lack of awareness. I mean, there's some stuff going on at the moment. I don't know if it was in the paper on The Sun last week that the young lad who was on the toy show at Christmas time, he was... they had a meeting at Leinster House, obviously trying to raise awareness for Tourette's, obviously trying to help with children's side, which is absolutely great, obviously trying to get more awareness. But there's still the side that obviously adults need help as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, I it was sort of a shame to say it, Martin. I think this is possibly the first time we've talked in the show, to somebody living with Tourette's, and for no other reason than maybe people just haven't got in touch. And I know you reached out to us to chat about this today, and I'm glad you did, because yeah. I think it's really worth highlighting, the condition and making us all, myself included, by the way, aware of what day-to-day life is like and the kind of things that you're dealing with by members of the public, so we can all be a little bit more mindful and a little bit more aware. Do people ever ask you, what's what do you have, or what is it?
You get more children asking if I'm like on a train. I mean, this was again another train incident. I was visiting family just before Christmas last year in the UK, and this little must have been about 4 or 5. She was ever so sweet. She obviously I was ticking, and she was playing along, and kids can be as innocent as anything. And she was just playing along and asked, and her parents were interested, and I explained the situation, and they were fine with it. I mean, I've got a lanyard which says I've got Tourette's as well.
Yeah, okay.
This sunflower lanyard. Yeah. But
what did she say to you, Martin?
What, the child?
Yeah.
So she was, I was just clicking away. As you probably heard, I have been a little bit on the conversation.
Just a little bit now, but I can hear it, all right.
And that's something with Tourette's. It waxes and wanes. So you can have days where you're absolutely fine. Other days where you can't really speak at all. But yeah, no, this child, she was joining in. She was clicking away and just asked me, are you okay? Are you playing, or is that event? And I was like, no, I explained to her. No, I've got a obviously problem where my brain tried to word it in a way a child would understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Which can be quite hard. Just saying how my brain doesn't connect with my mouth sometimes, and it just makes random noises. And she was like, and then just carry. And then I know it wasn't a nasty laugh. It was more of a. Probably
just the innocence of curiosity.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's and you wouldn't mind, somebody maybe asking you like that in a public situation, what's
not
happening?
At all, no.
Yeah, it's just, as you say, kind of being inquisitive.
Again, and we're laughing as well. I'm one of these people who, if you're laughing with me, that's it. Rather than laughing in a nasty way or anything, I'm happy with people who do that as well.
Yeah. It's so worth, I think, highlighting this. And, there obviously isn't a lot of awareness around this then in Ireland for adult Tourette's, I suppose, Martin.
No. Other than, obviously, there was a support group, which is as a Northern Ireland or North of Ireland has got a lot of support group, and they've started working down south. There was a support group in January time. Again, more around sort of the child side of things. And obviously with parents as well, trying to get assistance and help. But there was a few adults there as well. And as I say, that's the first time I've actually met adults in Ireland with Tourette's. And there's any sort of other people I've sort of got to know, like people on through TikTok and that kind of thing. So I don't know if you've heard of like the Tourette's Barber.
Mm-hmm. I actually haven't. I randomly just stumbled across the page.
And he's a lovely chap, is Josh. So I've chatted to him a few times. There's a couple of others in it. It's more prominent in the UK, I think, maybe because of obviously the film, I Swear, and John Davidson raising awareness in the UK side of things. It's just not as much over here.
I was going to ask you that. Do you know how many people are living in Ireland with tics or Tourette's?
Other than it was on the toy show over Christmas, and a couple of others I've chatted to like on TikTok and like through social media, like down Corkway and that kind of thing. There's no one really at all. Very, very far, few in between.
Well, I wonder for anyone, Martin, maybe listening to, to you this afternoon that is living with tics or Tourette's, if they'd like to get in touch with us or maybe share their own story with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can drop us an email like you did yourself, Martin, lunchtimelive at newstalk.com. Will you just explain the difference between tics and Tourette's?
So Tourette's is obviously a neurological disorder which causes tics. To be diagnosed with Tourette's, you need to have at least one vocal and one motor tic. So a motor tick can be as simple as eye blinking. With myself, it's eye blinking, and I do have a like neck jerk as well, which can cause injury. Sort of really injure my neck. Vocal wise, can be as simple as clearing your throat, or as you've what a lot of people think Tourette's is, like swearing, which is obviously very, very rare. It's only 10 to 15% of people actually have coprolalia.
And would you typically have both?
To be officially diagnosed with Tourette's, you do have to have at least one of each.
Okay, yeah. But you're more, you're tics rather than Tourette's.
I'm actually officially with Tourette's. So tics is obviously part of Tourette's, but Tourette's is a lot more as well. So there's a lot of people think of Tourette's is just like swearing and like obscenities and that kind of thing, whereas there's a lot more to it. You've got, obviously you've got your tics side of things, but you've also got a lot of people have comorbid sort of conditions as well. So if you've got Tourette's, there's a chance you've probably potentially got ADHD or autism or something else as well. With myself, I'm actually need to be tested for like functional neurological disorder as well, which is a common thing for someone with Tourette's. A lot of people with Tourette's have OCD. A lot of people with Tourette's have, obviously, unfortunately, depression as well, because it's one of those things which can get to people.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And even the experiences that you highlighted here today as well. Martin, it's fascinating to chat to you. And I'm really appreciate you getting in touch with us to share your experience. And I hope if there's others tuned into you today, dealing with the same condition, if you want to share your own experience, as I said, you can drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com or 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Martin Sturman. Martin, thanks a million for joining us here in Lunchtime Live.
Thank you for having me.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.